The Holy Gospel, the reading from today, takes place in the upper room on that Thursday night where the apostles and Jesus celebrated the Passover Seder meal. The Gospel begins with these words. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Were you wondering who he was? He is Judas. When Judas was gone, then when he left the upper room, he went to do what he got 30 pieces of silver to do. Jesus had told him, go do what you're about to do, go quickly." That's John 13:27. And that would be betray Jesus with a kiss. Then Jesus was comfortable enough to address the other 11 and say to them, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and he will glorify him at once." And Jesus knows full well what is ahead of him. And so he speaks of being glorified. This is only the second time that Jesus spoke of the Son of Man being glorified. The first was in John 12:23, when he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, before this, he had spoken of God the Father being glorified and of the Son of Man being lifted up, meaning being on a cross. Well, in the first century, in Israel, the words to glorify meant to exalt by completing the given task. And it's always good to know the context of how words are being used, because then we can fully understand the intent of why it was written. The scope and wonder of God's marvelous plan of salvation will only be apparent after the arrest of Jesus, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. I believe Jesus was overwhelmed with glory, and the coming events as the unveiling of God's glory, with his own mission finally coming towards its conclusion. And so in doing this, he would be bringing God the Father the glory. Jesus knew that very soon he would be leaving his apostles and his disciples behind as he moved closer and closer to the cross. Now, if you come to think about it, Jesus is just hours away from his own death. Seems to me that only around Easter time is the life of Jesus and his sacrifice remembered in the news media and, unfortunately, on the minds of very few. People are more concerned with the latest TV series and what's happening with it. Folks glorify sports teams and their players, but don't have time for Jesus. In my heart, I know that Jesus is always glorified, and I pray that he is in your hearts too. The point is, the media and the masses' priorities are not focused on holy things. They're not focused on Jesus, but on a lot of other things. Just turn on the TV and watch the news. I don't care which news, which channel. Nobody's talking about Jesus very much, and I find that very sad. Jesus knows that on that Thursday night, the events that are coming for him, and he tells his apostles very lovingly and warmly, in a way that reflects their relationship with one another. He says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come." In just a little while, Jesus will repeat this message, telling them more about his destination in the next chapter, John chapter 14. And Jesus' words here are filled with promise and truth when he tells them, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And that last verse is very, very important, because most times people stop cold with, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And sometimes they'll include, no one comes to the Father except through me. But most people don't usually add, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I think that's very important, because that's talking about relationship. If you don't know someone, how can you have a relationship with them? But if you do know somebody intricately, you can have a very strong and wonderful relationship. In other words, Jesus was saying right here, you're looking at God. Jesus' promise that they're not going to be alone, that he will come back for them and take them, that they will always be with him. And Thomas, of course, pipes up that they don't know the way. And Jesus fills them and all believers with those special words that fully reveal just who he is and how he and the Father are one. I can't help but think of the prayer that's called the Shema, the one that it should be ingrained in the hearts and minds of all Jewish people, as well as on their doorposts. I've talked about this before. It's rolled up in a small little scroll and placed in what's called a mezuzah. If you see in movies, or if you know some Jewish people, they will kiss their hand and touch this thing that's on their doorpost. And that's called a mezuzah. And the words that are in there are found from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. And this should sound familiar. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. That's God speaking to Moses in Deuteronomy. Think about that. The Lord our God is one. It can mean that he is one God, but that's the position in our lives that God's supposed to take. He's supposed to be first in our lives. And that night, Jesus had something special to give to the apostles besides the gift of the body and blood in the Eucharist at the Last Supper meal. Jesus gives them the simplest, clearest, and truly hardest command of all as a new commandment that is to go along with the Shema that they were given in Deuteronomy. That's straight from God's words in Leviticus 19:18, in which God tells Moses, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says in Leviticus, I am the Lord. And so Jesus tells his apostles, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's John 13, 34 to 35. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This just might be the hardest thing for people to follow, because Jesus is telling them and all of us to copy him, which is virtually impossible, but we're to try. At the very beginning of each Holy Eucharist service, we've incorporated Jesus' words and these two commands as recorded in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, when we say, and you know these, when I say, hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Well, let's face it. Love is all about what we give and do for another person. Think about it. You can be in love, but you're not in love with yourself. At least, I hope you're not. If you love someone else, then don't you really want to do what's best for that person? Giving a part of yourself for that person. Selfless and unconditional love overflows into service. Not in order to show off how hardworking it is, but because true love for another person is in its natural form. Everything we think, do, and say is for that person while we're with them. And if you're really in love, you're thinking about them even when you're not with them, probably all the more. It would be my prayer that the gospel would be an example of a love like no other that begins with God and extends to our neighbors. And so I ask you to remember Jesus' words from today's Holy Gospel and how they should give us strength, hope, and courage to do just what he commands. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the people of Corinth, and they complement and are parallel right to Jesus' words and those of the Old Testament, as he wrote, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. By the grace of God, may we do our best to put these words into action, and through our love be fully focused on the one who loves us, Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.